We're learning Yeshaya Perek Lamed Beis. I'd like to resume from Pasuk Tes. We began this last week. The Pasuk says, Noshim Shananos, complacent women, Komno Shemana Koli, rise up and hear my voice. Bonos Bodchos, confident daughters, Hazena Imrosi, give ear to my speech. We mentioned the Gemara discusses when there's a feeling of security and confidence, the women have a greater, they're more deserving of confidence, Gedola Havtochash, and that the women have a greater promise than the men. We mentioned that in terms of they wait for their husband, they help their children learn Torah. But the simple meaning is, it means the different countries. The country is referred to as, I guess, motherland, but it's referred to as the cities, and the countries are referred to as the women. Noshim Shananos, the complacent women, is the women that aren't at all concerned with danger. It's referring to those in Malchus Yehuda, in the kingdom of Yehuda, where at this point they were complacent, they weren't concerned with anything. We're talking now before Sancheiriv came to Yerushalayim. The previous psukim talked that in the future there'll be a king Chizkiyahu, who will be a tremendous tzaddik, and there won't be flattery in the land, and people will refer to what's good as good, and what's bad will be known as Lo Yikoriyo the novel Nodiv. People won't refer to a vile person as generous. There won't be flattery, and there'll be a clear recognition of what's good, and those that do justice will be praised. Those were the previous psukim. And that's when the king arises in the future, Chizkiyo. But before that, the 10 tribes would be exiled by Sancheiriv, by the king of Ashur. And after the 10 tribes are exiled, Sancheiriv will come to the land of Yehuda and make it desolate, and he'll surround Yerushalayim before he's destroyed. At this point, in Malchus Yehuda, they're complacent. They're taking it easy. They're not at all worried. There's no danger on the horizon. In the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes, where Sancheiriv is going to be arriving shortly, they hear the drums of war in the distance, but they're confident that they'll be able, they have alliances, and they'll be able to defeat the enemy. They feel confident. They're referred to as Bonos, the daughters. The original kingdom of David and Shlomo was based in Yerushalayim, was in Yehuda. And then from there was a break-off. Yeravim ben Nevat broke off, and he started the kingdom of the 10 tribes. They're the daughters. They're the offshoot from the mother from Yehuda, Malchus Yehuda. So Noshim Shananos. The Noshim is the women, those that are there before the daughters. Malchus Yehuda. That's always been around. The older kingdom. Noshim Shananos. And they're complacent. Shananos means they're not worried, they don't even think of danger. They feel secure, and they're complacent, it's not even on their mind that there's some harm out there. But Komna, rise up, Shemana Koli, just hear my voice. A kol is a voice without even detecting what the voice is saying. But you hear noise, you hear something. And for them, in their sense of complacency, they should hear something. Be aware that not everything is automatically going to be good. And if we're not deserving, there could be punishments. There will be punishments if they're not deserving, the Novi says. Bonos Bodchos, and those daughters, the new empire, the new kingdom of the 10 tribes, they're the daughters. And they're Bodchos. They're confident. Hazeno Imrosi. Give ear to my speech. Hear the Amorim. Hear the words. You have to, for them, they're aware of danger, but they feel secure. They're not hearing the message. They hear the noise. They are aware that there are enemies, but they don't get the message that they have to improve. Yomim al Shana. With Yomim sometimes means a year. Yomim tia gulaso. You have a year to redeem the field that was the what was sold, the land that was sold, and the walled city. But yomim can mean a year. It can mean yomim al shana, years by year. Tirgaz nebotchos. These confident women, those the 10 tribes, they're constantly doing averus that are going to cause them to shudder. Yomim al shana, what's happening year by year, tirgaz nebotchos. It's going to cause them to shudder. The enemy is coming. Kikola botzir. Because the harvest, the grapes, you've finished the picking. Osef b'liyavo. And the harvest doesn't come in. They pick the grapes, but they don't have the food. The enemy takes it. Other Meforshim learn, Yomim al Shana, the actual punishment, will be year by year. This will perpetuate and continue the punishments that Tirgaz Nebotchos. Kikola Botzir, because the harvest of the grapes has been finished, Osef b'liyavo, they won't bring it in. The Malbim learns Yomim here can mean days. When the year begins again in Rosh Hashanah, you know, Sukkot is just days away. Once Rosh Hashanah comes, it's just a short amount of time. Within 2 weeks, you have Sukkot. Yomim, just a few days al Shana after the year begins. Tirgaz Nebotchos, you'll feel that punishment of the enemy, because Sukkot is the man simchaseinu. You know, as city dwellers, we don't feel it as much. But a farmer works the whole year planting his crop and watching it grow and hoping there won't be disease and there won't be the other elements that destroy his produce. And finally, he brings it in Sukkot time. He brings it in the fall. Zman ha'asif, and that's a tremendous simcha. But the Yomim al Shana, just a short time after the year begins, Tirgaz Nebotchos, those that are confident, will shudder. Because Kikola Votzir, they've finished picking the produce. Now's the time to bring it in. Osef B'liyavo, but they won't be able to bring it in because the enemy will take it. Chirdu Shananos. You complacent women should tremble. Regoza Botchos. To shudder. The confident women. The Gemara explains in Brachos, there's a pasuk, Rigzu v'altechto, that a person should shudder v'altechto and don't sin. The Gemara says, La'olam yargi zodom yetzer toiv al yetzer hara, that a person has to very often, it's nature to get into a complacent, easygoing, you know, a schedule and set up in life, and we just assume that this is the way it is and this is the way it has to be, and nothing changes. And we don't realize there's very often so much more that we could do and we could accomplish. And then sometimes a crisis happens, and all of a sudden the status quo is disrupted, and then we realize also there are reserves of energy and there are ideas and innovations and things we could do to improve ourselves that we wouldn't have realized otherwise. But there's a place for anger. The rigzu v'altechto, this shuddering, trembling, the feeling of anger. Rigzu, sometimes a person has to feel that he's not happy with the way he is. He's got to improve. Rigzu, if a person gets angry at his Yetzirah and he says, you know, how come every time the Yetzirah gets me and I have to improve and change already? Rigs of Altechto, and then he won't sin. The Gemara says a person should try to overcome the Yetzirah that way. And if it doesn't work, he should be Oisik B'Torah. He should learn Torah, and that will give him the support to carry out his good plans. Imu Bilvavchem. He should say Bilvavchem. He should say what's with his heart. He should learn the Torah. And if that doesn't work, say Kriya Shema, Mishkavchem, V'domu Sela, and last of all, remember that is the Yom HaMoves, the eventual day of death. But the Pasuk here says, Chirdu Shananos. They shouldn't be just happy with the way things are going at the moment. But Chirdu Shananos, the complacent women should tremble. Regoza bodchos. Shudder, confident women. Peshota, because there's going to be a point where there's going to be an exile. If they don't approve, they're going to go into exile. Peshota, they're going to disrobe, take off the beautiful clothing. Va'ora, till they're bare, even the undergarments. Vachagora al chalotsoyim, and like somebody going into exile, he just ties a belt, something around his waist, just for a little bit of privacy, a little bit of tznius, but he doesn't have regular clothing, he just puts a chagora, a belt, not over his clothing, but al chalotsoyim, on his loins. Al shadayim softim. They beat upon their breasts as a sign of anguish. Al stei chemed, because they're mourning over the beautiful, lovely fields. Al gefen poria, over the fruitful vine, that everything was so beautiful and their beautiful land is being destroyed by the enemy. Al shadayim softim. Rashi brings down the Targum. Al Shadayim Softim is saying what a person should be upset about. A person should be upset on their breasts, they're beating. The Shadayim represent when a mother nurses the baby and gives nourishment. In order to keep the baby alive and to feed it, that's the source of nourishment. Klal Yisrael's source of nourishment is the Dayon, the Chachmei Sanhedros, the Chachomim that sit in the Sanhedrin, who teach Torah. You want to know what they should be mourning about? Al Shadayim Softim. Mourn about the teachers of Torah, the Chachomim in the Sanhedrin, that they're not going to be there. Al Stei Chemed, for the lovely fields. And Rashi says, the beautiful city of Yerushalayim that's plowed over like a field, it's destroyed, it's all of a sudden become it's almost reminiscent, they have these a lot of the killing grounds from during the Holocaust, where thousands, hundreds of thousands of people were killed and shot, and now it's like a beautiful park, and they it's planted, and you wouldn't know what lies under the surface of that ground. In Yerushalayim, they look at it, Al Stei Chemed, it's a lovely field. But that used to be the city of Yerushalayim. Al Gefen Poria, on that fruitful vine. Klal Yisrael is referred to as the grapevine. Gefen Mimitzrayim Tasiya, like a vine, Hashem brought us out. He transplanted us from Mitzrayim, and he brought us to Eretz Yisrael. So Klal Yisrael is called a Geffen. Al Shadayim Softim, mourn over the loss of the Chachamim in the Sanhedrin. Al Stei Chemed, on the city of Yerushalayim that's now plowed like a field. Al Geffen Poria, on Klal Yisrael, that fruitful vine that ends up being exiled. And therefore they should feel the shudder and the trembling now, while they're still secure, while they're still confident, they're in their land. Al Admas Ami, and the Novi, this is in a very loving term, my nation, on the land of my people, but Kotz Shomir Tala, there'll be different types of thorns, thistles, and weeds will sprout. Ki al kol bate mosos, over all the houses where there was merrymaking, there was mosos, there was partying. Kiryah Aliza, the city that was jubilant, that exulted, that had such happiness. But now on the land, Kot Shamir Tale, there'll be thorns growing. Kial kol bote mosos, on all the houses of merrymaking, Kirya Aliza, the happy city. The mourning is the simple, the one explanation, as we learned from Rashi, is they're mourning over the destruction of the Ruchnius, the Yerushalayim, the Sanhedrin, Klal Yisrael. there's a Gemara, though, that the simple meaning is that they should shudder and tremble about what they're losing. They don't have their fields, they don't have their grapevines. And that should give them a tremble. There's a Gemara it's quoted a few times in Shkolim and in elsewhere. An interesting Gemara. The Gemara says as follows. I'm looking in Shkolim, Daf Chof Aleph from Abayz. The Gemara says, Rabbivi Hava Yosef Masni Hadein Uvda. Rabbivi was learned, saying over a certain discussion in the Gemara. Omler of Yitzchak Bar Bizna, Ad Kama, Omler Ad Raviz, Tohar, Yosemikan, Tomei, and he gave him an answer. The exact particulars don't involve us right now. But there was a question to which he gave an answer, Ubo'at Bey. And then the Gemara says he kicked him. Literally, he kicked him. Either it means he pushed him off, or he rebuffed him, or he answered harshly, but he totally rejected whatever the questioner asked. So the Gemara says, Amalei Rav Zrika. So Rav Zrika said, Begin to have a shoyalach, because he asks you a question. Aboyit be, you kick him like that? Somebody asks you a question, so you snap at him? Why do you respond like that? Amalei said to him, Begin to lo havas daiti bi. My mind just wasn't with me. And he said as follows, the Amar Rav Chanin explained in the Teichacha, you have a pasuk as follows, which the Gemara explains. V'hoyu chayecha tluim l'chomi neged. Your life will be suspended for you at a distance. Like a person realizes his life is hanging in the balance, and it's in a distance, it's out of his control. What does that mean? A person feels like he's out of control, his life is suspended in the hands of others. And the Gemara explains it's something that we wouldn't even imagine. Zeshu lokech lochitim l'shana. It's talking about a person who has the average life, but he doesn't own his own piece of land. He's not able to grow his own produce. He has no way of growing crops. He doesn't have any land. And he knows every year he has to go and buy whatever food is available. And for some people, and that can cause a sense of anxiety that the person feels his life is out of his control. What happens if they don't ship the wheat this year? Well, what's the person going to eat? He's dependent on others. And the pasuk continues, it can be even a greater concern. Ufachadeta laila v'yomam. You'll be afraid by night and by day. Even a greater fear. That's a person who's not able to buy his grain for a whole year. He has to buy it like in weekly installments. He buys it for a few days at a time. A layel of a yomim, a night and a day, he's buying in a smaller amount. So he has a greater fear. Every single week he has to worry, are they going to have food? V'lo samin b'chayecha, you won't believe in your own life. Zeshu lokech min apalter. That's referring to a person who buys from the baker. So every day he goes to the bakery and he has to buy his food. You know, it's just learning this Gemara, you really appreciate the kindness we have nowadays. I don't think people feel that type of concern. You know that Baruch Hashem, there's always food, there's always... But a person living in times, the Teichacha is saying the truth is there is a feeling of concern. A person can feel like things are totally out of control. He's dependent on others. Without others, he won't have what to eat. He'll starve. Therefore, he was asked a question. And the Amora that the Gemara quotes, he kicked the questioner. He responded. He snapped. He couldn't tolerate the person's question. Because he said, because my mind isn't settled. You don't know the stress I'm under. I don't know what am I going to eat today. There's no food. What's going to be today? Because I depend on the bakery every day for, if there's food, then I'll have what to eat. And if not, I don't have. There are people who are, the Novi saying, Noshim Shananos, about these women that are complacent, the countries, the communities that are complacent. And they're confident. But Chirdu Shananos, Ragoza Bochos, they should shudder and tremble and realize that not everything they should take for granted, but there can be Al Shaddayim Sofnim. They'll feel the need to mourn, beating their chest, Al Steichemet, that all those luscious fields that they never thought there'd be a problem. Where's the food going to come from? Al Gevin Poria, they have the fruitful vines. But a person can have that nervousness, who knows, that the food won't always be available. And they should realize that they're dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as the Gemara is a lesson also, sometimes you deal with other people and you and they don't respond to you the way they should. But you should know, you don't know what stresses people go under. That's what I think is a lesson from that Gemara. Sometimes you ask a question and a person speaks back to you in the wrong manner. It's not always what you said. You don't know what's going on in that person's life and what's troubling him or her. So the Navi says they should give a shudder because Al Admas Ami, on the land of my people, there's going to be thorns on those houses of merrymaking in the joyous city. Ki Armo Nutosh, for the palace has been abandoned. Hamon Ir Uzov, the city's multitude, the crowds of people, Uzov, they're abandoned. Ofel Vavachan, the fortification and the stronghold, the fortresses of the city, Hoya Ba'ad Ma'oros. It could be the word Ma'oros means like a cave. That what used to be a strong fortification is now like an abandoned cave. Hoya Ba'ad Ma'oros. Ad Olam, forever. And Ad Olam doesn't have to mean necessarily forever. It could be for a long time. Ad Olam, it says, Ad Olam is Olomo Shel Yovel. Sometimes it means Tel Yovel. Va'avadu La'olam. A slave whose ear is drilled, he serves the master Ad Olam, Til Yovel. It means for a long time. And the destruction will be for a seemingly endless time span. Hayya Ba'ad Ma'oros Ad Olam, it becomes like a cave. Some Mefarshim say it's like if a building is destroyed, all you see is the place where the basement was. In other words, the house above ground was destroyed, and you can see the large hole in the ground, like a cave, what remained from that former edifice. The word ma'aros can also mean from like oru oru ad hayisodba, a term of destruction. That what used to be the stronghold, haya ba'ad ma'aros, is now in the middle of destruction. That the fortress is destroyed and all around it is destroyed. Misos Peroim. It becomes a joy for the Peroim, the wild donkeys. Mire Adorim, a pasture for the flocks. It's interesting, the Mari Kora brings down another Mefarshim. We just had recently in the laning, Vahu Yiye Pera Odom. Pera Odom is referring to Yishmael, the Arabs. They're like a wild person. The truth is, the Torah doesn't call them a wild person. In Lashon HaKodesh, the adjective comes after the noun. Like you say, Bayis Godol. A house? Big. You don't say a big house, it's house big. The noun is first. Yishmael is really not an Odom Pere. He's not a person who's wild. He's Pere Odom. There's a certain type, his essence is Pere, a type of uncivilized, wild type of person in the human form. He's a Pere Odom. That's the type of wildness he is. But Yishmael is described as Pere Odom. This palace, Ki Armo Nutosh, some of Farshim learn it means the king's palace. The king, the palace of the kings is now abandoned. The city is empty. The strongholds of the city are destroyed. And it remains that way with the Churban for centuries. Like Ad Olam just for a long time. But Ki Armo Nutosh, the Targum says, Ari Beis Makdisho Charov, the palace here is the palace of Hashem. The Targum learns it's going on the Beis Hamikdash. And if so, the pasuk can be understood as an unbelievable foretelling of the future. That ki armo nutosh, the Beis HaMikdash is going to be abandoned. There'll be the point when it'll be destroyed. And you know what's going to happen to that? Misos peroim, the wild ones. As Marikora says, Yishmael shenikra pera odom. Yishmael, who's called the pera odom, will be misos peroim on the site of the Beis HaMikdash. You'll have the peroim. They're singled out from all the nations. There'll be mirei adorim. The Arabs didn't always have it. There were times when the Christians had it. Other people conquered the Temple Mount. In the times of the Crusaders, it wasn't always under the control of the Arabs. Mirei adorim is mirei ha'umos. Other nations will control it. But it specifically mentions, and it mentions first, it's the Mesos Peroim, the site of the Beis HaMikdash, the palace of Hashem, becomes the place where the Peroim, the simple meaning in Peroim is again, the mules, the wild mules, live there. Mirei Adorim, the flocks of animals graze there, and that's what happens. Ad Ye'ore Aleinu Ruach Mimorom. Until a spirit will be poured out on us, a ruach mimarom, a spirit from above, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pour his spirit, v'hoya midbar la'karmel. And when that happens, the areas that right now are a desert, that midbar will become la'karmel, a place of fields and vineyards, will become cultivated land. V'ha'karmel, and what's now the karmel, la'yar yechoshev, will be considered a forest. One explanation is v'ha'karmel, the most beautiful lands that right now you look at and you think this is such a beautiful area. In the future, la'yar yechoshev, that would be considered a forest. The level of beauty in the land and how the land produces will be on a much higher level. What's a desert now, in the future, will be like the Carmel. And what's a Carmel now won't even register in the future. That'll be considered layar, like a forest. It's written v'Carmel. V'Carmel, all of the areas that are fertile. And v'ha'Carmel, meaning even if it's the unique, the special, the most fertile, v'ha'Carmel will be considered a yar. Will be a forest. So both the best fields and all the good fields will be considered a yar. Another explanation is, the Targum says, V'hoya midbar la Carmel. The place that's a desert will now be la Carmel, will be fertile land. V'ha Carmel, and what's till now been the fertile land, la yar yechoshev, it'll be considered a forest, meaning it'll be populated. It'll be settled, there'll be so many people living there. The Targum says, Kirvin Sagin Yisiv, they'll become mighty cities like a forest that's populated. The cities will sprout up in the area that used to be farmland. And the farmland will be the area that used to be desert. What's interesting is, in other words, a person needs to have the view of the history. Here they're right now in a complacent, secure setting. Right now, and the truth is they know that things are going to be very good in the future. It's going to get even better. You know, sometimes a person's in Gullus and he's in a small window of time in that special place where the Gullus is not that harsh and he feels that it's not that bad and he thinks to himself, you know, this Gullus is not that bad and it's only getting better. When Mashiach comes, Lasi Lovo, it's going to be even better. But a person should be aware of the fact you got to do tshuva and you have to improve. We don't know what's going to be between now and then. Over here, there are Noshim Shananos. These countries are complacent. They feel secure. And they know that things are going to be very good in the future. The Gemara has a discussion where the Chizkiyo was Mashiach, could have been Mashiach. There is one opinion that the Imos HaMashiach were already enjoyed in the times of Chizkiyo. But Chizkiyo was such a great tzaddik, and the land had such prosperity during his time, the times of Chizkiyo, and this is right before. And things are good, and they know there's going to be even better in the future. But this should give a tremble and a shudder, because right now there's an enemy there, there's going to be destruction before the times of Chizkiyo, before Sancheirov is destroyed outside Yerushalayim. But then there'll be the time at Ye'ore Aleinu Ruach Mimorom, there'll be a spirit poured out from above that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us a Hisorerus, an awakening, an arousal to do tshuva and to return to Him. And at that point, there'll be a bounty and there'll be plenty in the land. V'shochan ba'midbor mishpat. In the desert, justice will dwell. And the desert, which is going to be farmlands, and there's going to be different owners have their plots of land, and people can fight over their territory. But v'shochan ba'midbor mishpat, there'll be justice. Bein olam l'chaveiro, there won't be arguments. Everyone will have their acres of land, and they'll dwell with mishpat. There'll be justice. Utzidoka ba'karmel teishev, and what's the Carmel? The fertile fields that will end up being the cities. But Stuka, now the righteousness will dwell there. The Malbim learns Stuka is referring to Bein Odom LaMokom. And the Bein Odom LaMokom in the cities, which is where the people will be involved, and they'll be spending all their time there. Shachan is to dwell more on a temporary basis. They'll go out to the field, Vishachan, they'll be there on occasion, and there'll be justice and things will be being done fairly. But Teishev, where they reside, where they really, where they're living, Utstoka Bakarmel Teishev, in the cities, there'll be an outpouring, Bein Olam LaMakom, people will be devoting their life to serving Hashem, and there'll be Tztoka there. V'hoya Maiseh HaTztoka Shalom. And the product of Tztoka, of righteousness, will be peace. V'avodas HaTztoka, and the effect of Tztoka will be Hashkeit, will be quiet, Vovetach, and security, Ad Olam, forever. The Malbim learns the Pshat is, Avoda, to work, is more difficult than Maisa. What's done? Maisa HaTztoka means, what's done? The Tztoka that's done. And the Avodas HaTztoka is, the avoda is something that requires exertion, that's more difficult. The Malbim learns, tztoka, as we mentioned, is the mitzvah Bein Olam LaMakom. Utztoka ba'karmel teishev, it's more than the mishpat. Mishpat Bein Olam L'chaveiro. But the Malbim is learning that tztoka here refers to the mitzvah Bein Olam LaMakom. And there's two types. There are certain mitzvahs that you understand, mitzvah sichlios, like the emunah that we have, that you had to believe that there's a creator. Certain things are very understandable. If a person looks at the world, he realizes that there's a creator. The emunah and certain musar, certain conduct that a person is a proper way to behave, bein olam l'makom, certain things are easy. And the maisa hatztaka will bring shalom, there'll be peace. Vavoda satztaka, and the exertion bein olam l'makom, and things that's in avoda, they have to work like an eved, keeved hashemea mitzvah adono, like a slave who listens to his master. Hagam sheino makir taimam v'toaltam. There are mitzvahs that you don't realize the reason, you don't understand the benefit. Certain things you can understand the benefit. You know, they have studies. You look at me. They have studies that people who go to shul, Older people who go to shul live longer. It's a scientific fact. But certain things you can understand. You know, if a guy stays at home and he doesn't feel he's got a purpose in life, and he just stays in his home, he doesn't live as long as the person who gets up and he comes to shul and he does something with himself and he meets like-minded people. He's got chaverim. He's got a whole network of people serving Hashem. Certain mitzvahs are understandable. But other mitzvahs are avodas hatztaka. You have a mitzvah and you don't realize at all why. What do you gain from it? But if a person does that, he'll have hashkeit bovetach, He'll have quiet and security, which is better than just peace. He'll have the hashkef avetach, and he'll be ad olam forever. The Rambam says, it's very often people hear these Rambams when you go to a stucca function. But it's the truth is the Rambam, what the Rambam speaks about stucca is really unbelievable. It's, you know, a person would be, you know, just every Rambam here really should be chazed again and again and again. Chayovim onu, the Rambam says at the end of Matnus Aniyim, which is in the Rambam's Roim, when he talks about planting, because when you plant, you have to give parts to the Kohen and to the Levi and to bring to Yerushalayim, you have to give to the poor. So in the section of Zeroim is where the Rambam discusses Stukka. And in Perek Asiri, the 10th Perek of Hilchus Matnas Aniyim, the Rambam talks about Stukka. He says, Chayovim anu li'zor b'mitzvah Stukka yosem mikol mitzvah saseh. You have to be careful with the mitzvah of Stukka more than every mitzvah saseh. Shat stoka simen letzadik zera Avram Avinu, because a sign of Avram Avinu, lasa stoko mishpat. Avram Avinu spent his life doing stoko mishpat, giving to others. Stoka is a sign that of your Jewishness. So that's the sign of a yid. A Jew gives stoka and helps others. So you got to be very careful. That's what shows who you are. That's the nature of a Jew. And the Rambam continues in Halacha Beis, La'olam ein adam me'ani min hatzdaka. A person never becomes poor from giving tzedaka. As you give tzedaka as you're supposed to, a person never becomes poor from tzedaka. Ve'ein davar ra, v'lo hezek, niglal bishvil hatzdaka. There won't be anything bad, there won't be any harm caused because of giving tzedaka. It's the startling, the Rambam brings us down to halacha, that you can be guaranteed, if you give tzedakah and you think you lost something, the truth is you would have lost much, much more. By tzedakah you don't lose. You're guaranteed you give tzedakah, there will be no harm. Shenemar, and he brings our pasuk. V'hoya ma'aseh hatzedakah shalom. The ma'aseh, the act of tzedakah, will bring peace. That's what the pasuk says, and the Rambam is basing the way the Gemara understands it. Tzedaka, and the Gemara and the Rambam understand tzedaka as what we call tzedaka, charity. You know? The simple meaning of giving tzedaka. V'hoya ma'isa hatzedaka shalom. The act, the ma'isa of tzedaka will bring peace. So there won't be any harm as a result of giving tzedaka. The Rambam says later on, in Halacha Vov, Hakofe acherim litein tzedaka. If somebody forces others to give tzedaka, and we're talking about he's forcing people that should give tzedaka, and they need to be persuaded and to be pressured, but it's for their benefit. We're not talking about people who should be giving tzedaka, they have the money, and it's just difficult to part with what's yours. But if this person is involved, and he forces others to give tzedaka. Umaase osan. They get more schar than the one who gives. If Reuven gets Shimon to give tzedaka, Reuven gets a greater mitzvah. Reuven forced Shimon, it's Shimon's money. But Reuven gets the greater mitzvah when he forces Shimon to give tzedaka. Shenemar v'hoyim ma'ise hatzedaka shalom. The Gemara also understands ma'ise is like me'ase, the one who causes others to do tzedaka. Bring shalom. So the Gemara actually understands the pasuk v'hoyim ma'isa hatzedaka shalom. The ma'isa, the act of causing others to do tzedaka, that'll bring shalom. That'll bring peace. V'avodas hatzedaka, and the one who actually does it, he's on a lower level. Hashkeit v'vetach ad olam. He'll have security. Hashkeit u'vetach, quiet and security ad olam forever. So it was bothering me because the Malbim seems to learn that peace is not as great as the Hashkeit uvetach. Hashkeit vavetach. The Avodas Hatzedaka, he learns is the mitzvahs that are more difficult. And the Gemara seems to learn it the other way around. But there's a very interesting sefer, a book put out by Rav Aaron Feldman, who's now the Rosh Yeshiva in Neri Yisrael. It's called The River, the Kettle, and the Bird. A very well-known book. It discusses male-female husband-wife relationships. Person to read even before he goes out. But in his foreword, in the first chapter, he quotes a beautiful thought from the way he explains the Gemara. The Gemara in Brachos discusses dreams. If you dream about a certain thing, it foretells, it has a certain significance. The Gemara brings a pasuk, if a person dreams of a flowing river, that's a sign of peace. And it also discusses if you see a pot, something cooking in a pot, and that's what he's dreaming about, it's also a sign of peace. And it says a bird is also a sign of peace, and everything has a pasuk for it. And read the pasuk and, you know, the Gemara, and it's all based on psukim. But you don't really feel like, you know, what the meaning is. I mean, there's a pasuk that a bird is a sign of peace, but you don't feel like you really understand what's the significance. And over there he explains that there are different levels of peace. There's one type of peace like the river. You have two cities, and each city does their own thing. But they have some communication. There's a waterway in between them, and you can ship things from one city to the other. And they help each other. And the lowest level, the simplest level of marriage is the man does his thing, and the wife does her thing. And there's like a river in between, this peace, and they help each other out. But each one is separate. Then there's a higher level of shalom, of peace. And that's the peace like the kettle. If you want to cook food, you want to cook something, you want to cook spaghetti, you can't put it on a plain fire, it won't be edible. If you just soak it in water, it won't be cooked, it'll just get soggy. You can't just soak it in plain cold water. But, see, you have two elements, you have the fire and the water, but you're not going to have any good food. The kettle enables you to use the fire and the water together, and you can take two separate things and create something that would have been impossible before. There are certain things that the husband can do, certain things the wife can't do, but there's certain things they can't accomplish separately. And there's a peace in marriage that's on a higher level, that together the husband and wife are able to do things that were impossible before. That's the type of peace of a kettle. And then there's a third level, the highest level of a bird. A bird is not just two separate things that are complementing each other. A bird is able to walk on earth, and a bird can fly. But since it's one organism, it's one thing, so when the bird walks, it walks in a way that's affected by the fact that there are wings hanging. And when it flies, it's carrying around those feet. It also doesn't fly as if there were no feet. It's part of it. Maybe it's an added weight. But the way it flies is affected by its feet, and the way it walks is affected by its wings. Where the husband and wife are not just accomplishing two separate things, but their whole nature is affected one by the other. They become one entity, one unit. So I was just thinking, could be, the truth is shalom, peace, has many different levels. The Malbim could be, as explained in the Pasuk, on a simple level, that v'hoya maisa hatztaka shalom. The act of tzedakah which he learns, a person does the mitzvahs, and he does it. It's not difficult. It's the maisa tzedakah, the action of tzedakah, that could bring shalom. V'avodas hatzedakah, a tzedakah that requires an avoda, like a slave that you're working, you don't know what the meaning of it all is. That avodas hatzedakah, that can bring something greater of hashkeit v'vetach ad olam, of quiet and security forever. The Gemara, though, seems to understand, v'hoya maisat stuka shalom, there's a higher level of peace, and that's created by maisat stuka. If you make somebody else give stuka, if you're able to convince them, so that brings shalom, which could be peace on a higher level. The avodasat stuka, if you yourself do stuka, you might not have that high level of shalom, but you have hashke b'vetach ad olam. Pasuk Yud Ches. V'yoshav ami b'nevei shalom. And my people will live in a peaceful domain. Uv'mishkenos mivtachim, and in secure dwellings. Uv'imenucho shananos, and in tranquil resting places. Right now, they feel botchos and shananos. They feel secure, they feel complacent, but when Hashem pours out the Spirit from above and a person is influenced in staka, there's mishpat and this avodas Hashem, so then they'll really be, it'll be well earned and it'll be deserved and it'll be something that will last. My people will dwell be neve shalom in a peaceful domain. Uve mishkenos mivtachim. It won't just be that they feel confident, but the mishkenos will be mivtachim, the secure dwellings of imnucha shananos, and in the tranquil resting places. Uvorad, and what even when there is suffering and even when something difficult happens, uvorad, the hail that comes down, beredes hayar, will come down on the forest. Uvashifla tishpal ha'ir, and the city will go down to the lowlands. When one is concerned with the enemy, he builds the city on a mountain, puts a wall around it on the mountain, and it's secure. But here, uvashifla tishpal ha'ir, in the lowlands, the city will be built up and developed in the lowland because they won't be afraid of an enemy attacking from above. And it could also mean uvashifla, any effect of lowering them, to be nishbal, to be lowered. But that'll be tishbal a'ir, uvashifla tishbal a'ir. The city, any harm that comes to the city will happen on the low end of the city. The prominent, important part of the city won't be affected. That uvorad beredes hayar, the hail that comes down will be in the forest. And whenever tishbal a'ir, whenever the city is lowered, that's uvashifla tishbal a'ir. It'll affect the low part of the city that people aren't concerned with. But the hub of the city, the main part of the city, will not be affected. Ashreichem zorei al komoyim. Fortunate. You'll be fortunate to plant your crops al komoyim, upon all waters. Wherever you plant your crops, it seems they hit an underground stream and there's irrigated land. And when you plant it by all the waters, Mishalchi regel hashor v'achamor, they'll be able to send out the ox to plow and to work the ground, v'achamor, and the donkey to carry back the crops, load up the saddlebags on the donkey and send the produce back to the city. It could also mean Ashreichem zorei al komoyim, you'll be fortunate to plant by the waters and there'll be an abundance of things growing. And therefore, Mishalchi regel hashor v'achamor, you'll let the animals wander around the field and you won't be concerned with them trampling the crops because there's so much stuff growing. Let the animals walk around there, there'll be plenty of food left for the humans. The Gemara in Baba Kama makes a drasha from this. The Gemara says as follows on Baba Kama Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai. My dechsev. What is the meaning of this pasuk? Ashreichem zorei al kol moyim. Fortunate are those that plant by all waters. Mishal chiregel ashor v'chamor. They send out the foot of the ox and the donkey. Kol ha'osek b'toru v'gmilus chasodim. If somebody's osek in Torah and in gmilus chesed, zoicha l'nachla shnei shvatim. He'll be zoicha to a nachla, a portion like two shvatim, which we'll get to in a minute, the two shvatim. Where do you see Torah and gmilus chesed in this pasuk? The answer is whenever you do chesed, when you help out another yid, it's like you're planting. Ziru lechem litztaka v'kitzru lefi chesed. The Gemara describes, you do chesed, you do tztaka, it's like you're planting the seeds. You help out another person, you're planting seeds. And you don't know when they'll come back and they'll grow and you'll benefit. You'll feel the benefit. Ashrei zorei, those that are planting, means those that are planting means they're doing tztaka. They're doing chesed. Al kol moyim, water, Torah is referred to as water. One reason it's compared to water is water. A person can't live without water. Water is the most important thing that we eat or drink is water. Water is the life the life of a giving fluid. Torah is the water. Ashreichem zorei al kol moyim. Those that are involved with chesed and those that are involved with Torah will be like Meshalchei Regel Hashor v'Hachamor. There was one of the shvatim was compared to the ox. Bechor Shoro Hadarlo. It's referring to Shevet Yosef. And another Shevet was compared to a donkey. Yisachar Chamor Gorim. Yisachar was like a donkey with big bones. That's a hard worker. And therefore, a person who's involved with Torah and Gemilas Chesed will be Zoche to be like Meshalchei Regel Hashor V'Achamor. He'll send out the feet of the ox and the donkey. He'll be like Yosef HaTzadik, like Shevet Yosef, which is Ephraim and Menashe. And he'll be like the donkey, like Yisachar. We find by Yosef, and the Gemara has two explanations what this means. First of all, the tribes together of Ephraim and Menashe were very numerous. They were a large. Yosef ended up growing into a very large, numerous group. Those two shvatim of Ephraim and Menashe together. If somebody's involved with Chesed and Torah, he zocheh lekila ki Yosef, as the Maharsha says, kila is like a canopy bed, but that represents future generations. The growth, the offspring that are produced. He'll be zoicha to children like Yosef. Another explanation is Yosef, his enemies, it says by Yoshua bin Nun, who came from Ephraim, from Yosef. The nations all gathered together to attack Yoshua, and Yoshua bin Nun defeated them. His enemies will fall before him like Yosef. So he'll be like Yosef. He'll be numerous like Yosef. He'll be successful if he involves himself with Stakon Chesed. And he'll also be like Chamor, like the donkey. We find two different things by Yisachar. The Gemara says, Zocheh l'nachlas Yisachar. Yisachar was wealthy. The Targum says, Yisachar Chamor Gorem. He was like the donkey with big bones. The Gemara says it was a wealthy Shevet, that the people were able to sit and learn Torah, because they had plenty. They weren't disturbed. And Zvulun was their partner that supported them. Yisachar was, the Targum says, Atir Benichsin, something that was, they were wealthy. And the other thing we find by Yisachar is, Mibnei Yisachar Yodei Bina Lo'itim. They understood, they had a knowledge of the times, Lodas Mayasa Yisrael, that they knew what Klal Yisrael should do. Everybody turned to Yisachar. They were the heads of the Sanhedrin, and they turned to Yisachar for guidance. They were the ones who were able to teach others. The Pasuk is saying, right now, there are the Noshim Shananos, the Bonos Bodchos, people secure and they're confident, they're not aware that there's an enemy, they're living their complacent life. But they should, Yomim al Shana Tirgazna Bodchos. They should know that there's going to be a time they're going to be trembling. There's an enemy. They got to wake up and they got to change and they got to correct themselves. Because if not, there'll be destruction. Ad Ye'ora Aleinu Ruach Mimarom. Until Hashem pours out that spirit from above. And once again, the land will produce and things will be successful. V'hoye Maisat Stoka Shalom. People will be involved in Mishpat and Stoka, and that will bring further peace. And we conclude, Ashreichem Zorei Al Kol Moyim. Fortunate are you, Zorei Al Kol Moyim, who plant by all waters. And as the Gemara explains in Baba Kama, they plant, meaning you plant your good deeds and you do Chesed and Stoka, Al Kol Moyim, together with the Torah. If you're involved in Torah, you're involved in Stoka. Meshalchei Regel Hashor V'Achamor, you'll be able to send out the foot of the ox and the donkey. The ox is Yosef. Your enemies will fall before you like Yosef. You'll have a large family like Yosef. V'Achamor, and like the donkey, like Yisachar, that was like the donkey, that he was wealthy and he was able to sit and learn Torah, and he had the bina, the understanding, as the leader of the Sanhedrin. Ladas Mayasi saw that Klal Yisrael should know what to do.